We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
Bam, baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Flips it down.
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Pacer Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode here of your go-to Pacers podcast, Setting the Pace. The Indiana Pacers were in Chicago for a basketball game tonight that took place, and they watched a show by the Harlem Bull Trotters as the Chicago Bulls took down Indiana 125-99. Pacers close out this road trip 3-2, and making his return from a few episode break as he was on a business trip is Michael J. Fauci. And Fauci, what a return to come back to.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. You know, just like the Pacers, I was ready to go home. All right, being on the road, traveling, you know, sometimes just like you said before, and you can relate to it, you just want to be in your own bed. And I think that we saw that it was evident in Chicago, the end of a road trip and a Pacers team that never quite showed up. I think their minds might have been elsewhere, their hearts might have been in Indiana, but it wasn't on that court tonight, unfortunately. And the Pacers scoring sub 100 points, not good.
Yeah, and this honestly to me, I was a little bit surprised by the performance tonight, Fauci. I will not lie. I mean, understand, well, we'll talk about this here first. You know, this was the fifth game in 8 nights, so, and they've been on the road quite a bit. So I understand why there could be some fatigue and some travel, you know, just tired of traveling, that kind of thing. And we see this happen all the time with the Pacers. On the tail end of a road trip, they always seem to kind of lose that last game before they come home. And I'm pretty sure if you look across the league, it's a very common thing where players and teams lose those games at the tail end of road trips. But with everything that was in the Pacers' hands tonight, the ability to tie this series with Chicago, a team that they've really struggled with, now they end up losing that series 3-1. This could be a team potentially they might face in a play-in situation if, you know, worse comes to worse. But also, you had Miami lose the night before. Philadelphia loses in heartbreak fashion tonight against the Clippers. And Orlando lost to Golden State. Like, every team that Cavaliers lost as well to the Hornets. Like, all these teams that were losing around your area in the standings. And the Pacers aren't able to take advantage of it. I mean, the fact that they really weren't competitive in this game, Fauci, at all is what makes it very frustrating, just because, yes, it was a tired leg, so like we mentioned, but like I think that a lot of this just came down to poor execution and poor effort.
I think so, and it's unfortunate because you don't want to chalk this up as a loss due to the 5 games in 8 nights, end of a road trip, but it felt like that is a real thing in the NBA, and I don't want to make excuses for this Pacers team because, you know, it is, hey, you could say it's Chicago, but Chicago has also had our number this year, and it's frustrating because it's not a great Chicago team, but like you said, 3 wins over the Pacers out of 4 this year, it's disappointing, and the Pacers were coming off of that high of that win against the Clippers, which was a really great win, but it just felt like from the first quarter and on, the Pacers just never really looked like they were in control. They only scored 23 points early on, and that really set the tone for a game where the Pacers were never a threat at one point. They cut it down to 7, and I felt like that was really as close as the Pacers were able to get. I mean, this was a 20-point game at halftime, and Chicago never really had to look over their shoulder in this one.
Yeah, cutting it down to 7 in the third quarter, like I'm just a little bit disappointed that the Pacers gave us some false hope that maybe they could make this a bit of a game. And I kept thinking to myself, well, if they get it to single digits by the end of the quarter, all right, let's see what can happen. But, you know, they get it to 7, and I'm thinking, all right, they're right there. They're knocking on the door. I mean, I just watched them. I stayed up late to watch them play the Lakers and knock down a 17-point lead and cut it to 3 a few different times there with a few minutes left in the game. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, can they come back against Chicago? Like, I've seen crazier things happen already this season from other teams just a few days ago with what Atlanta did to Boston and how they came back and won that game. But yeah, honestly, like I'm just a little bit sad that we got to see a false hope in the third quarter because me and you could have started this podcast recording about an hour and a half ago.
I've been sleeping.
And I've been sleeping right now. So, you know, screw you Pacers for giving me false hope in the third quarter. But, you know, it just once again, it's the margin for error, Slim Fauci. So, I mean, let me ask you though, I mean, is this a good enough excuse to say tired legs was the reason they lost this game?
It is. And I know there's going to be some fans listening to this, whether you're driving, whether you're in the gym, whatever you're doing, that's not good enough. That can't be the excuse, but it does feel like a real thing in the NBA. 5 games in 8 nights feels like old school NBA. When I say old school NBA, NBA of like 10 years ago or so, where you used to play a lot of games, like almost like the 3 games in 4 nights type of situation. So, 5 games in 8 nights, that's a lot for today's NBA. And I just feel like the Pacers were off to a good start in this road trip. They really were. This was an opportunity to go 4-1 on the road, and that would have been really, really good. So we did see some good things in this road trip, but tonight against Chicago, whether it's a combination of just Chicago matching up very well against Indiana or not, I just felt like the Pacers didn't have it. There's plenty of players that kind of just were not themselves. But I think overall you could chalk this up to a scheduling type of situation where I'm not going to say it could have been anybody on the other end, but like when you look at what the Pacers showed tonight offensively, I mean, they didn't crack 100 points. I think that's either the first time that happened this year. It is the first time the Pacers didn't crack 100 on defense. They were nowhere to be found either. They give up 125. It's just something that I feel like you want to be able to get back home and forget about.
Yeah. And you know, that is a fair, you know, sentiment. It's a fair way to feel about this team saying, you know what, it was a long road trip and all that, but I don't know why, but I felt today, like all throughout the day, like this is going to be a pretty good game. I think the Pacers are actually going to pull this one out. Because we've seen this team have bounce back games against teams that have, you know, had their number in a tough loss. Like they took care of Chicago on the road the first time after Chicago had beat them at home in a pretty ugly loss. I think that was like a 112-105 loss. And I mean, we thought that 7-point loss to Chicago was just nasty. Like now they lose by 26 on the road to them. But I just thought after the 3-game loss at home in overtime, like there would still be a little bit of an emotional charge from that game. Like the Pacers would come out with a little bit more extra energy, knowing how important this game was for that tiebreaker scenario and just, you know, everything involved with it. Just like that, we got to get this team back from what they did to us. But man, it was just a complete no-show from this team. And you hate to see it from that, because I know a lot of fans probably listening to this podcast right now, you're just diehards, because who is tuning in to a post-game recap of a 26-point loss to the Bulls? Like, not very many people. So thank you for listening if you are. But my goodness, this was just an unfortunate game for the Pacers. And I'm kind of hoping that they're a little bit more rested and ready for the Lakers on Friday, because to me, like, I understand winning against the Bulls was probably more important, but I really want to see the Pacers beat the Lakers after what just took place on Sunday with the foul discrepancy that you will hear me talk about probably for the next couple of weeks, because I still can't believe how crazy that was.
No, I mean, that was honestly ridiculous, and I just feel like it's always such an uphill battle beating the Lakers that you need to convincingly beat the Lakers. When we're talking about needing to convincingly beat the Lakers, I'm actually still not over a couple years ago when Duarte didn't get the four-point play and would have won it. So, I mean, it just really feels that, you know, that there can't be that small margin of error. So, yeah, I want to respond against the Lakers. I know that the Pacers kind of emptied out, you know, the deep end of the bench in this game. I think they probably could have did it a little bit earlier. I think the Pacers were just, they looked lifeless in that fourth quarter. But, you know, the tough part is in a 26-point loss, you know, guys like Siakam and Tyrese Haliburton, they still played 30-plus minutes each. So it's not like this is, hey, we got blown out, but they only played about 20 to 25 minutes. No, they still got their 30-plus minutes in. So it's a little bit unfortunate. And for both players tonight, Haliburton and Siakam, I just felt that it wasn't their night. But one thing that I really want to point out, you know, in specific for Siakam is seven shots. He had six coming into the fourth quarter. This is a guy that had absolutely been lighting it up. He had 29 shots against the Lakers. He had 20 against the Clippers. He finishes this game with seven shots. I just don't think that that's and we've talked about it. Hey, it never feels like it's enough to get arguably a fourth of the shots that you got a couple nights ago. I mean, that's just never going to get it done.
Now, I will say this in the defense of them not giving him the ball as much. He did have 11 free throws in this game. So
yeah, no, that's definitely that's, you know, irrelevant.
That's probably around five more shots there you can add to the mix. So that's about 12 shots, which still is about average for what he gets against the Bulls, because he was 8 of 12 last time they played. So, you know, I mean, really, Haliburton was kind of chucking some threes there in the third quarter. It felt like just really trying to – he had some good looks, so they just weren't falling. And if you hear me and Caitlin Cooper talk about it on yesterday's show, like, she was talking about how he was getting, like, wide-open looks against Golden State and L.A. with their coverages. Some of these threes were wide open, and he just wasn't hitting them. So I don't know what to tell you there. It's just part of the ups and downs of Tyrese Haliburton post-injury. But you're right. I mean, Siakam, like, you look at the box score, it looks bad, 2 of 7 in 30 minutes. But I did like how aggressive he was at the free throw line and trying to get there. It was just a weird game from everybody. It was really ugly. That's the only way to put it. Like, this team scored 99 points. Like,
99.
That's not that many. You know, that's the lowest, like you said, of the season so far. And it's just not who this team is. So it was just a bad game overall. But I do want to kind of transition here, Fauci, to our next point. And there is a player that just came back from injury in this game, did not play against the Clippers. That's Aaron Nesmith. And I'm curious, are you concerned at all with his play since the injury that he had prior to the one that he just received against the Lakers? Because it seems like, to me, he doesn't feel like the same player that he was since going down in that game against Toronto.
No, he doesn't seem like the same player. And we talked about it maybe about a week ago or so, that it's like, for most of this season, Aaron Nesmith was the most consistent Pacer. I felt that he was someone that you could rely on night in, night out, extremely efficient from the field. You know, overall, you know, shooting about for many months, 50% from the field. Great to see from three-point line, lighting it up. It feels like it's actually been quite some time since he's had some games where he's been, you know, maybe like a 5 of 10, but there's been a lot of those 2 of 11 tonight, 3 of 11 versus Golden State, you know, whether it's a 4 of 9 or 4 of 12 last time against Chicago. I mean, 2 of 10 against Minnesota. There's been a lot of struggles, and I just feel like, yeah, you know, he's going to hustle, he's going to play hard, but he has not really been the same Aaron Nesmith that we saw earlier in the year that was taking that big step forward. It's more like he's starting to, not come down a bit, but it's like you want to be playing your best basketball come playoff time. It's now been at least about a good month, I feel like, since he's been playing vintage Aaron Nesmith basketball from earlier this season.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the numbers in this game tonight, 2 of 9 from three. Two of those came in the fourth quarter, and I think that's the last two that he actually took. So he was probably 0 of 7 before that. And it's like, if he's getting 11, you know, 11 shot attempts and he's 2 of 11, like, is he taking too many shots? Is he looking for his offense a little bit too much? I'm not even sure. I would have to go back and watch to see how many of those were good looks versus forced shots. But to me, the Aaron Nesmith that we saw, you know, a couple months ago is not the same Aaron Nesmith we're seeing now. And it looks like, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out exactly the best fit for him with this team. You know, we kind of had this conversation last year, like, is he a starter? Is he more of a bench guy? And it felt like, man, he's really a starter this year. He's shooting like 46% from three, and I still think he's shooting at a high rate.
He is.
But, yeah, I'm a little bit torn on what I think of him right now. I don't want to be too much of a prisoner of the moment with him, but I am a little bit concerned. Only a few more games to kind of get yourself right before the playoffs, and I'm hoping that the playoffs kind of just allow him to kind of take that, you know, that level up in his game right there, Facci, to be more impactful than he has been so far. But right now, the poor shooting numbers, just the – I feel like he's been a little bit sloppy and a little bit rushed on the court when he's played, which has been something he's done his whole career. But it seemed like he got better at that, but now it feels like he has more timely turnovers and timely mistakes that stick out than they had – more than they had previously.
No, it's true, though, and he was 0 of 6 at halftime, and that was the frustrating part where he's 0 of 6, but Siakam's only got 4 shots, and I just felt like this is someone that when you say, is he taking too many shots? At times, you know, he's good for double-digit shots, and on many teams, I feel like that's not really the case. I mean, there's plenty of games this month where he's had 11, 10, 12, 12, 10 shots, and if you don't have it that night, and most of those nights, to be honest, he hasn't had it. It is the 2 of 11s or the 3 of 11s. It's just like sometimes you got to know when it's not your night and just kind of stick to, you know, I don't want to say stick to what you do best, but it's like he's someone that on most teams I think would thrive in being that sixth man, but he's still good enough to potentially in the playoffs, if he has it going, I feel like Aaron Nesmith is the kind of player that can swing a game with a hot shooting night. If he can be, you know, really efficient from three, I think that that's a game that the Pacers maybe can, you know, beat a team that maybe they weren't expected to. But if he is playing like he's playing right now and giving you a 3 of 11 performance, he's probably going to shoot you out of that game because I just feel like right now if there's if your top two guys in Siakam and Haliburton don't really have it, those are the games that you definitely need an Aaron Nesmith to have it. And I feel like, quite frankly, tonight the three of them, or at least, you know, I'd say Haliburton and Nesmith from the field absolutely just did not have it.
It's a tough one. I mean, everybody loves Aaron Nesmith, I think. Everybody's rooting for him. I have so many people stop me and tell me how much I love the way he plays the game. And so it's just a bit of a stretch for him. You know, we got to give Tyrese to Haliburton the benefit of the doubt there with his slump and his struggles. I think you have to do the same thing for a guy like Aaron Nesmith, who is very impactful to this team, specifically on the defensive side of things. And you could kind of feel this team looked a lot different against the Bulls in the second half. When Nesmith went out of the game, when Siakam went out of the game. And it's just like, you know, this Pacers team is still kind of missing that starting small forward, in my opinion, because you need someone that's probably got more of the Jairus Walker build, right? Versus maybe someone more of the Nesmith build. Because tonight, when you're watching Andrew Nembhard guard DeMar DeRozan, it doesn't matter how good the defense is. DeMar DeRozan's got 2 or 3 inches on him. And so, even if Nembhard's right in his grill and playing great defense, you know, DeRozan can get that shot off over him just because he's got a little bit of a height advantage, excuse me. And that, to me, is just something like you have to live and deal with that stuff. But, you know, I feel like for Nesmith, he's been so good this year that it's really hard to criticize him too much. But
yeah, I agree. He gets a bit of a pass. He does.
But it's still, you can tell he definitely is just going through a bit of a slump, and it does stink.
It does, and I think that, you know, these players, this is why, like, they're human. Everybody's going to go through a slump at some point. It's unfortunate, but it's like you just want to be playing your best basketball as April's coming to an end. Right now, it's March that's coming to an end. There still is some time, but it's just like you want to be, like, you know, that team almost like the Miami Heat are, where, like, they tend to play their best basketball at the end of the year, and I just feel like for the Pacers – they don't have that ability to just flip a switch and just get it going. So you want to use these remaining, say, you know, 9 games or so, 8, 9 games to really make it count and get back into playing that vintage Pacers basketball that we're seeing from time to time, but not maybe as much consistently. So I think for Aaron Nesmith, I think there are better days ahead. I think he's going to be just fine. But I think that, unfortunately, this Pacers team really counts on Nesmith to be, you know, one of those maybe, hey, your fourth option. And I think that on a lot of teams, they wouldn't really count on him to be, you know, that fourth scoring option.
Fauci, let's go ahead and take a quick break from our conversation now and tell our listeners about our great sponsor over at the Blue Wire Podcast Network, Unified Healing. Let's go ahead and talk about that right now. Fauci, I'm glad you're back for today's episode because I've got to talk to you about Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete like myself or a podcaster like yourself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The Indiana Pacers are going to need the best recovery for their top-notch performance after getting beaten down by the Chicago Bulls 125-99. They've got a game against the Lakers, so they got to get back on track. So that's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. So Fauci, if you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you're going to want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. So whether you're in New York like yourself or in Indiana where I'm at, or other hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is, guess what? Easy and affordable. That's right. Easy and affordable. So if you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/pace, P-A-C-E. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Fauci, let's get back to the show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's keep this conversation moving. We've been talking about Aaron Nesmith's struggles. And maybe the other guy that we've talked about a lot earlier this year and how much high praise we had for him, Jalen Smith, feels like he's been going through a little bit of a slump as well. And I think you can really say it's just been up and down for him since the All-Star break. And there's some really good Jalen games. There's some games that don't look so good. And tonight was another example of a game that didn't look the greatest for him going up against Andre Drummond. We've seen Andre Drummond present plenty of problems for Pacer bigs over the years, but Andre Drummond just looked like he was about 60 to 70 pounds heavier than Jalen Smith out there on the court. And Jalen Smith was not really able to take advantage of his three-point shot to kind of spread Drummond out from the paint. So I just felt like this might have been a matchup thing, but definitely just not the greatest night for Jalen Smith.
No, it definitely wasn't. I feel like the Bulls' bigs just really took it to Jalen, and it showed. I mean, Jalen Smith in this game, you know, not really one to write home about, a negative 20. He was minus 20, you know, on the box score. He only played 12 minutes.
That's bad.
So that says a lot. But, yeah, for Drummond, someone who's given the Pacers fits dating back to his days in Detroit, I mean, he pulls off a double-double in just 18 minutes. And it wasn't Jalen's best night. And I think that for now, like, just it's funny that we're following up on Nesmith, because Nesmith and Jalen Smith, I think, were those two players in the beginning of the year that took the biggest step forward from that internal growth and were just huge for the Pacers. And I feel like both of those guys now, they're still very vital to what the Pacers are doing, but I feel like they just have not been able to count on them as much. And Jalen from the field, he's still shooting a good percentage. It's about 40% from three this month, but it feels to be a little bit inconsistent. I mean, he goes 3 of 3 against Golden State, and then since then, the last three games, he's only made 1 3 in that span. So a little bit inconsistent, and I think on a night like tonight, just it didn't look like he was a good matchup against Chicago.
No, it definitely did, and I will say this too, like with the slumps that he's been going through, you kind of started to see on this road trip anyway, Isaiah Jackson have more of an impact. We saw Isaiah Jackson get the minutes in his hometown of Michigan when they played Detroit, and he had a great game in that game. Did not play at all against Golden State. That was the Jalen Smith was back in the backup five role, and you kind of felt like, okay, things are back to normal. But then when you watch him play the Lakers, Jalen Smith got the nod early on, but it was not working out too well. They put Isaiah Jackson into the game, and Isaiah Jackson really was more impactful than Jalen Smith in that game. And in the Clippers game, they still kind of rode with Jalen again, but then in this game against the Bulls, they rode with Jalen, but towards the end there, you kind of just saw Isaiah Jackson doing a lot of different things that Jalen Smith cannot do, and that's just like the pure athleticism. Some of those left-handed dunks Isaiah had in traffic, like, it's funny to kind of see how those two play. And I tweeted this out, and I feel like everybody would be in agreement with me. Like, if Isaiah Jackson can just find a consistent three-point jumper in the offseason, somewhere around like 30% from three, I'm not even asking him to be like an average three-point shooter, but just enough of a threat out there that he can knock one down every once in a while, I think that's going to open up his game a little bit more, because we're starting to see him find ways to put the ball on the floor here and there. Like, it's not a big sample size, but kind of be a little bit more nifty with his handle and not just be a guy that catches and dunks the ball. Like, the way he's blocking shots, he's just playing with this like chip on his shoulder. And I feel like that is really coming from the fact that he's not getting the minutes that he wants to get. And he's got a contract coming up too. I think they picked up that option, but still, you know, it's just like that rookie contract is getting 1 year closer to being a standard contract, and he hasn't really been more than just a third string center in his career. So you can tell, like, he's kind of chomping at the bit to take Jalen's role. And when he's been out there to play, I feel like he's produced quite a bit.
That's the thing. It's like, for when you see the lack of minutes that Isaiah gets, it's not from underperforming. I feel like when he gets an opportunity, he always makes the most of it. And I feel like, you know, obviously not to relate him to a TJ McConnell, but there is a McConnell-like factor of a spark when he's out there. He just makes these plays that has you saying, okay, something's a little bit different right now. Like, he had a monstrous block in the fourth quarter. I mean, look, the game was completely out of reach, but like, you could feel that block. He blocked it into the stands. And you, by a season, he's having a good season for the amount of minutes that he gets. Alex, he's actually playing a career low amount of minutes this year, just 13 minutes per game. But I feel like when he comes in, he's playing good basketball. And I just felt like he's been a good rebounder. You know, he can block shots. He knows what he's good at. You're talking about, could he add a three-point shot to his game? We saw him make a couple threes in college. That was 4 years ago at this time. Then his rookie year, he goes 5 of 16 from three. That's actually 31%. So that's in that range that you were talking about of, could he even be a respectable three-point shooter? But just two made threes last year, and he's 0-4 this year. So it's really not something that we've ever seen him even give himself a chance at being able to do. And at this point, I know you don't want, you know, Carlisle of all people is not really going to want Isaiah to be developing like a mid-range jumper or anything like that, but you want to see some sort of growth. And I felt like you and I were amongst the hardest on him, you know, out of any player on this team coming into this season, and he's answered a lot of questions for us. And at times you got to say, hey, you know what? Maybe he could provide something that Jalen's not providing, but obviously I don't know if we've fully gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Smith, like that outside shot is really just, and you'll hear me and Caitlin Cooper talk about this tomorrow. We go a little bit more in depth about that matchup, and I want to let her kind of explain that and not take any of the points that she made away from what she said. So I'll leave it at that, but I think you can kind of just tell, like, we know, like, the whole reason why I think Jalen was getting the minutes that he was just because of his outside threat. You know, that's a big thing there, and there's been times to me where he's been more of a fundamental rebounder, a better fundamental rebounder than Isaiah Jackson. Isaiah Jackson can get to the ball quicker than anybody on this team, probably off the glass. Maybe him and Obi Toppin would have a little bit of a competition on that, but still, like, he's just got such a knack for the basketball when it comes off the rim, and he's a guy that really does look like he could fit with this team and the style they want to play. But he does also bring just that element of surprise, because if you do, you have that luxury, right, to be able to play him a little bit more. If for some reason you are having issues with Jalen not clicking with that second unit, you can say, okay, we got Isaiah Jackson here as our third string center, like probably one of the better third string centers in the league. So he's a guy that could easily play backup center minutes in the league. I've seen enough of a sample size to feel confident in that, but he's limited with what he can do. And I think that if he can expand upon that, that's big for him. But I still don't want to write off Jalen Smith just yet, because Jalen Smith, like, the year has been so good for him. And Zach Lowe even gave him a shout out on his latest podcast, saying, you know, shout out Jalen Smith for kind of having a comeback year. And it doesn't always happen overnight for these guys. It might take year three, year four before they get to that point. But, you know, it's been a fun story for Jalen Smith. I just hope it doesn't kind of ride off into the sunset right now, and he can continue to just continue to build and build what he's already done so far this season, and not just kind of celebrate what he's done and how far he's come, because to me, there's still potential for him to be better.
Oh, I mean, he has every opportunity right now to really, if he can play his best basketball, this is the time to cash in, because I feel like Jalen Smith's the kind of guy that if he has a good playoff series for the Pacers, that's going to make a big difference in terms of if he wants to opt out or not. And I feel like this is truly that big time for him to cash in on a real contract, because I don't think that he got the type of money that people thought he might get last time around. So, you know, this is a guy that has a lot of money to gain in the month of April.
For sure, Patrick. Well, let's move on to our last talking point here. I want to get your thoughts on how you think the Pacers should handle Jairus Walker's minutes moving forward. Really great game against the Clippers. Got a little bit of run there in the first half against Chicago, but not the greatest showing from him. Nothing spectacular. Really jumped off the page. But how do you think the Pacers should continue to use Jairus Walker and play him in the rotation?
I just think he needs some sort of more consistent opportunity. They did the classic where, like, you know, Jairus played a couple of minutes early on in this game, and then he comes out and then doesn't play anything until, you know, the game's completely out of reach. But it's just like, it's weird because Carlisle was so, you know, complimentative of him against the Clippers and what he brought to the table in that game. And he was great. And we saw last time he played Chicago, he was good too. Mm-hmm. He had 10 points in that game and 4 boards. He played 24 minutes. So this time around, only 11 minutes. Like I said, about half of those were in garbage time. So I think they got to find some sort of role for him. But it's not enough to just play that 4-minute stint in the first half, you know, in the second quarter for a little bit, and then just not play again. So I think that when the Pacers have given him, you know, ample playing time, I think that he's been able to show, you know, a lot. He's got actually in this month alone 2 games where he's had 6 assists or more. You know, he's had rebounding efforts that are good. He's shown that we all know that he can score the ball, but you got to be able to find him more than 4 minutes in a night, I feel like.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think he played 6 minutes in the second half of that closing quarter, that last quarter in the fourth. He didn't play at all in the third. And he played, like you mentioned, like 2 in the first, 3 in the second, kind of carried over with those minutes, kind of, you know, playing him with the second unit, but nothing really to build off there. And the bench was not good in this game tonight, so I don't think it helped him at all.
Really, the bench had nothing going. And I feel like this is why it kind of brings me into this. It's just like, if you need a spark, Jairus Walker has actually been that spark at times. He was definitely that spark against the Clippers at times. And it just feels like a night, if you look at this, the bench had, you know, you had McConnell doing what he does. He gave you 12. But how common is it for the Pacers to not have anyone else give you more than six? And that came with Isaiah Jackson late in the game. The Pacers essentially didn't have anybody else on that bench contribute, period, in this game.
Yeah, it was not a normal bench night for the Pacers. And I will say this, the first, you know, the two nights the Pacers lost against the Lakers and the Bulls, it felt like they kind of got rid of their normal rotation of where Siakam kind of goes out early, comes back in with the second unit, that kind of thing. Definitely did not happen in the third quarter with that group. So, you know, to me, it's just like, okay, maybe there is a recipe for success with this team. And it's kind of like, if you get them out of that flow of the rotation based on how guys are playing or foul trouble, like it could kind of impact how this team is balanced and what they're trying to do. But yeah, there was too many stretches there in that, especially in the second half, where it was just not enough offensive firepower out there for this team. But I will say this with Jairus Walker, like, You've got to find a way to get him some more meaningful minutes. I'm sorry. I just don't think that Doug McDermott should crack the rotation whatsoever. I mean, yes, he had some nice shots go in against the Lakers. Let's be honest. Like, he had a nice little moment there. But if you're trying to get better defensively, like, the upside is there for Jairus. And if he's playing, like, really bad, you have that luxury of putting Doug in form because he is a veteran. You know what you're going to get from him. But I felt like Rick Carlisle against the Lakers left McDermott in way too long towards in that fourth quarter and couldn't get Nimhard back into the game quick enough. But if you have a guy like Jairus out there instead, someone that's going to at least provide you some level of defensive threat, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, they might still attack him, but I trust him being attacked in a one-on-one matchup more so than I give any, you know, trust with Doug McDermott. So to me, it's like, I know that there's a fine balance between those two, but like, I think there's even games, you know, we saw it against the Clippers, like maybe give Jairus Walker more minutes than Ben Shepherd. I know Ben Shepherd's probably earned those minutes a little bit more, but still, like, why shouldn't Jairus get a chance? And we saw this, and this is my last point before I let you respond to everything I'm throwing at you, but we saw Jairus look his best with the starting five. So why not try to get him in there with those guys? Maybe have him sub in early for Nesmith when he is struggling the way that he is, and see if that group together makes a little bit more sense, because they, you know, I think that Jairus provides more offensively with his playmaking abilities than what you're going to get from Nesmith in that regard. So that would have been something I would have tried maybe in the third quarter, something like that, or maybe even in the second quarter with Nesmith struggling the way that he was, just to kind of give Jairus an opportunity with that group that played so well against the Clippers.
Yeah, I think the second and third quarter would have been the time to do that, specifically the second, where I feel like things just weren't going the Pacers' way. But, like, what more does Jairus Walker have to do when it's like he played 29 minutes against the Clippers? I felt like really, you know, like, I don't want to say proved himself because he's obviously still a rookie, but, like, I just felt like with the amount of praise that he got, you would have thought that would have led to just more minutes. And like we said, if this wasn't a blowout, Jairus Walker might finish this game with 5 minutes played after playing so good against the Clippers that it's just like, when is it just going to be his opportunity to consistently get that? And actually, we're looking at it right now. Okay. Because I guess he logged 11 minutes technically. This is the first time that he's played back-to-back games playing 10 minutes or more dating back to January when plenty of guys were in and out of the rosters. So in the lineup. So that's just not good. I mean, the consistency has not been there. Get this man's confidence up by giving him actual playing time that he can count on a little bit, even if it is 10 minutes, you know, in a night.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Bocci. I think we just have to kind of be patient. I'm never expecting minutes for Jairus. But I would just maybe like to see it a little bit more, knowing the situation, you know, with the injuries that are there. And I know McDermott's back, but it took him, you know, a lot of shots to make a three finally in the fourth quarter. And yeah, I mean, what is his future with this team? I just don't really see it. And I don't think he's making that much of an impact with what they're doing now. Like, yeah, he can spread the floor, and I'm not trying to deny that. Like, I think every team that guards him is going to respect him more as a three-point shooter than Jairus Walker. There's no doubt about it. Like, he just is a different mover, different kind of pulls a little bit more gravity-wise. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. Like, yeah, he can kind of do some of the Buddy Hield stuff in terms of, you know, the drawing the attention from the outside. But, you know, Jairus just does about everything else better than three-point shooting than him. I mean, maybe the cutting is not as good either, but, like, the passing, the rebounding – the basketball IQ, I would probably say, you know, Doug's a pretty smart basketball player. There's no doubt about that. So I don't want to get down that, you know, the argument there. But yeah, it's just you kind of feel for the guy. And I want to see him continue to grow with this team. There's been a lot of talks like he could maybe start playing more three than four. And just the idea of him getting as many opportunities with Pascal here and not trying to force it, but just allowing it to happen naturally, it would be fun to watch. And I think you can kind of have a shorter leash on Jairus, because if he gets kind of loose a little bit, maybe he does. Maybe you do pull him early, but if he can kind of stay confined a little bit and understand what his role is, why not see what he can do?
I really do hope that he has that opportunity down the stretch, because we've always found that the last couple of games for players, some crazy stuff happens in the NBA. I mean, you know, those last game or two when you really get to be unleashed, I think that would be massive for his confidence. And it just feels like that's a good opportunity to give a guy like Doug McDermott a little bit of time off. Because what are the odds in the playoffs that, like, McDermott's going to swing a game? I just don't think so. I don't. But I feel that there are certain plays that then there could be a game that maybe if Jairus Walker is able to have some play in that, maybe he's able to make a couple impactful plays. You know, maybe it just energizes this group. I don't know. Do I expect him to have an opportunity to play 15 to 20 minutes? I don't, but I think that if given an opportunity, he could be able to, you know, spark this team in a way that McDermott just isn't going to ever, I feel like, swing momentum right now for this Pacers team.
Well, and one other point, too, that I'll bring up before we kind of close the show out is just the fact that Jairus has not put a lot of miles on his body this year. He's had a lot of coaches, did not play coaches' decisions, and yes, he did spend some time in the G League, but it's not like he was just constantly putting the amount of miles that these guys that are regular in the rotation are doing for 82 games. So he's going to be fresher probably towards the end of the season more than a lot of these guys that are probably kind of getting tired and ramping themselves up for the playoffs. So that to me is where he could be really impactful. And especially some of these regular season games, playoffs aside, this is where he could be really impactful in a regular season game. It's like you're playing a team that's maybe on the second night of a back-to-back or their third game in four nights. And all right, so they're a little bit tired. Well, you're going to play the Pacers' pace, which is always difficult to do. And on top of that, you get a deal with Jairus Walker, a 6'7" forward with a 7'2" wingspan, who has just been waiting, you know, like a ball of energy just to explode and go out there and wreak havoc. So that to me is just like one other element of why playing Jairus now could make some sense, because he just doesn't have that extra wear and tear on his body and could be really helpful and a little bit more energized these last eight games.
No, I really do think so. What I mentioned before, it's like I remember last year, like the last game of the season, Kenneth Lofton Jr. put up like 40 points. I truly believe that if you unleash Jairus, he might be able to get like 20 points at the end of the season in a game that might not matter for the team that we're playing or anything like that, but would be so critical for his confidence going into, hey, some of these games, look, you might only get a couple of minutes in the playoffs, but if that run goes well, then who knows? So it'd be fun. I definitely think, though, over the last month or two, and even specifically even the last, you know, game against the Clippers, you see those flashes to be like, okay, you know what, there is more of a three over here, and I'm excited to be able to count on Jairus next year. It's just frustrating to see the highs and lows of him play well and then it not being followed up with at least really an opportunity. Yes, like we said, he did get 11 minutes tonight, but it felt like it wasn't the same type of opportunity that you might have hoped for coming off of that big performance.
Yeah, that's a great point, Foch. And this is a good way to close this one out, obviously. I think we got to give a shout-out to Nimhard, who probably had the best game overall in this one for the Pacers and really kind of had some nice, you know, stretches there in the third quarter where he kind of stepped up and hit some big shots. But yeah, just overall from everybody, a very forgettable game for the Pacers and one they can hopefully just throw behind them and move forward and get ready for the Lakers, because not only do they need to beat the Lakers for revenge reasons from what happened Sunday, but they need to beat the Lakers because they need to win. They need to win as many games as possible And if they don't, then they're going to be asking other teams for help once again. Can't rely on other teams for help. Got to take care of business at home against the Lakers and take care of the Nets the next day too. Like, you got to have quality wins here as you're closing out the stretch, this stretch of the season.
No, you really do. And as it relates to Tim Hardy, look, he had a good performance, but like, I still stand by it. If Andrew Nembhard or Benedict Mathurin are leading you in scoring, I think something didn't go right. And I think that those are the games that have not resulted in Pacer W's, because it just truly means that some of the guys that you count on of a Turner, a Siakam, a Tyrese Haliburton didn't really have it going that night. And I think that, we don't play Chicago anymore as of now. Who knows what could happen in the play-in, like we said earlier. And I'm a little bit happy for it. Because I think that the Pacers, it just, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. They've had their struggles. Hey, no more Chicago for now. And the Pacers, they're looking to get back home. And I think that if you get back home, we're going to see something from here. But for overall on the road trip, not a bad road trip. They go 3-2. They could have went 4-1, you know, if maybe everything had worked out, whether it's taking down the Lakers or just not kind of throwing up a stinker against Chicago. But by no means did the Pacers do anything to crumble their season. Maybe, you know, the teams that they needed to lose a couple games, they also kind of helped them out a little bit. So we didn't capitalize, but we didn't fall back.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it's just going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way, Facci. I mean, I'm excited. To be a Pacer fan, it's great to be in this moment. And you're just, I think Basketball Reference has the Pacers predicted to finish with the sixth seed. Like, the best chances of winning the sixth seed is Indiana. So we'll see how that all plays out, as there's still plenty of games left on the schedule that are very impactful to the Pacers' overall record. But we'll say this, you were not here for the last time we talked. When we got the 41st win for the Indiana Pacers, they will not have a under 500 record this season. After that win. So pretty cool to see that as well. But anything else before we wrap it up?
No, look, hey, while it feels good for me to be back, I wish we were celebrating something. So we're just going to have to go out there and get the dub next time, be able to beat the Lakers and have something to celebrate. But this time around, I do think that the Pacers they'll be ready for the Lakers. And I think that hopefully the league is looking into the free throw differential a little bit off of last game. You know they're not, but you know you kind of hope they'll take that into effect. Hey, this time with it being in Indiana, maybe some things are different.
Yeah, I would say bet the under on fouls given to the Lakers for the next game, just to kind of prove a point, because they got pretty dragged and raked across the coals by everybody outside of the Lakers, who continue to reply, "We're a more physical team," blah blah blah. And we'll see if LeBron James plays in this game, because he did miss Wednesday night's game, I believe it was. Or was it Tuesday night's game? Might have been Tuesday night's game against the Bucks.
And Anthony Davis was just out for Wednesday night's game as we're recording this. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they say in the show business, as Rick Carlisle would say. But Facci, tell the people where they can find us out on social media. They haven't heard this in a while.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexBoldNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPodSTP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast, where you can find all of our video content, like this post-game video you're listening to right now. So please like and subscribe, and let us know what you think in the comment section below. And if you're listening to this on the audio platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review, and follow and subscribe to those shows as well. But Facci, if you're ready to put those yawns behind you and get ready for some regularly scheduled Pacers basketball once again, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers!